Hello, and welcome to Parenting Matters, real talk from toddlers to teens. I'm your host, Rebecca Walsh, Director of Early Childhood Matters in San Francisco, and I'm joined by my longtime mentor and co-host, Belen Giaretto. Together, we're here to answer your parenting questions from the early years through adolescence. As seasoned and humble parents and early childhood educators, we bring over 50 years of combined experience in teaching, directing, and coaching parents. We started this podcast to help you raise resilient, confident kids and teens, and to give you practical tools that can increase your confidence, effectiveness, and your joy in parenting. This is Real Talk, where we share multiple strategies because every child is unique. And we always explore what to try when just nothing else seems to be working. So let's get real and let's get to it.
All right, welcome back to Parenting Matters. We are really excited about this episode. We know that the school year is just around the corner for families. Such a big transition point, whether your child is starting preschool for the first time, just switching classrooms, or making that big jump to kindergarten. We're going to cover it all today. Thank you so much for your questions. And we are excited to be together and jumping in. Welcome, Belle-Anne.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a great topic.
Okay, well, let's jump in with the questions that we have.
Okay.
So our first question is just this classic one. My child is starting preschool for the first time. He has been with a nanny most of his life. How do I help him make this transition? He is a little slow to warm up, and I'm a little nervous.
I think every parent is a little nervous about school. Each year is different, and some children just have that disposition of loving school. Some children are okay with it. Some children are really slow to warm up. And so, however you felt about school can really impact the way that you handle your child's fears or excitement about school. One thing that is really helpful is to make a book, and you make it for the child, not with the child. And it has a beginning and a middle and an end. You can use stick figures. Your child is not going to criticize your art. I've used experience books for, really serious situations like, childhood illness. I've used it for adoption. I've used it for lots of different transitions. And because it's securitizing, because of the beginning, the middle, and the end, it really can help a child adjust to a new situation. Because, of course, it's the anxiety of not knowing. And the experience book really gives
Yeah.
the child a sense of that they know what to expect. Again, it can be very simple.
Yeah.
Some parents really go elaborate and do a full production, but again, the reason it works is because it is very clear about the things that you can be clear about, where the
Yeah.
school is, what time they're going to school, if you don't know the teacher's name, they're going to have a teacher, they're going to
Yeah.
have lunchtime if that's true, anything that you and then you can add to it, but
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, just even giving them the schedule of the day. Most preschools will tell you, what their schedule is, and just having that, I love this idea of the book, but having that schedule included so that they know, each page it can be, oh, first you play outside and, and then, Zoe goes to snack time, and then after snack, it's so calming and reassuring for a child, right?
I think it's calming for the parent as well.
Yeah.
Makes it work.
That's true. That's true. And it kind of helps you to realize, like, okay, this is what they're going to be doing and they're going to be okay. And yeah, I mean, I think the other, and you can even write in the story, like, Zoe was really nervous on her first day and she was feeling really worried. And then when she went to school, she saw that they had trains at school, just like she had at home. And she was really excited and she loves trains, And because, like you said, that story arc, right, of is so powerful for children to know. It's not that they're not going to be afraid, but to know that I'm going to be afraid, but then I'm going to be okay.
I think also if your child is young, going to preschool, giving them something of yourself, a scarf
Oh, yeah.
or something that they can take with them that tells them that you're going to come back or that,
Yes.
we're still connected. And it can be very simple. Usually I recommend this for younger children, but I've been surprised how many 5-year-olds are
Yeah.
helped by just having something tangible of the either the father or the mother's that they can take to school and
Yes. Yeah, I remember you doing that with kids when I was teaching at Pacific Primary, and even just something that the parent comes in wearing that day, right? Like you said, like it could be a scarf or just
A pen, even something
okay.
that's a it doesn't have to be something really spectacular, but just something that the parent says, here, hold on to this. This is mine. I'm going to see you soon. And,
Yes. Yeah. And of course, this reminds me of all kinds of books. Like, I mean, I think one of my all-time favorite books is The Kissing Hand, right?
oh, The Kissing Hand is great. Yes.
Such a wonderful book. If you haven't read that to your child as they make this transition, we do have some articles on back to school transitions on our website and at earlychildhoodmatters.org, and you can see all of our resources, but we also have a list of back to school books.
Also very important that the parent, we used to call it, put on a brave face. So
Yes.
if you're looking super worried or really concerned, that's not really helping your child at that point. So you want to put on a brave face, put on a happy face, not negating that the child might be worried, but also not fanning the fires, the flames of that, so that the child says, wow, if you're that worried, I must have something to really worry about.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we've talked about this, I think, on other shows, right? Like, how do you find that balance between we want to acknowledge a child's feelings, we don't want to deny them. We don't want to say, oh, you have nothing to worry about. School's going to be great. You're going to love it, right? But at the same time, if we express through our facial expressions or even through our own anxieties, like, I know you're really worried. It's just the way that we acknowledge those feelings is so powerful versus being a little bit more objective and saying, yeah, it's really hard to do new things, right? And just acknowledging that and saying it's really hard and it is really scary when we do something new. And maybe telling a story from your own life where you did something new or you did something that you had never done before. Or, if you have a memory from starting a new school or starting a new classroom, I've found that that can be really powerful for young children.
That can really make a difference, I think.
But like you said, just not necessarily holding on to the feelings too much. We don't want to disregard them, but we do need to have confidence that our child can get through this. And that's something I think that is so powerful just in general, right? We're constantly portraying to our children like bravery is not the absence of fear, right? Bravery is doing something that you're afraid to do and overcoming that fear. And so I think when we can have this mindset of, I believe in you, I know you can do this. And I have to say, like, I remember when my youngest, when he started at Pacific Primary, when he was even transitioning from one classroom to another, and I think we have another question about that, like, he had a really hard time. And I could not believe the thoughts that would go through my head. And I knew every teacher there and trusted them and was so confident that he was in a really loving and safe place, but you still, it's so hard not to over worry. And like you said, if your child doesn't come back saying, I love school, how do you approach that, I guess? Like, what are your tips for parents there if they are coming back? And it's very common the first week to say, I don't want to go back.
And boy, that strikes the fear in parents like nothing else can. But I think what you were saying, which is, every parent wants their child to have high self-esteem and feel confident, but it's through working through these difficult passages, which we all have, with a parent who really does believe that you can do it, is how you build that self-esteem and that confidence. Yes, this is hard, but I know you can do this, and I'm going to help you. And you're going to do things that are going to help yourself as well. And it might take some time, but we're in this together, and I know you can do this. That's a very different message than saying, "Oh my God, you really hate school. What are we going to do?"
Yeah. Yes. And yeah, and even thinking those thoughts like, oh my gosh, do I need to find another school? Do I need to, I mean, of course, if this goes on and it's, 4 months into the school year, you definitely want to start asking questions and,
And you partner with the teachers right away. Don't wait to talk to the teachers about what you're, hearing or seeing, and they can help you as well make a transition.
Yeah, absolutely. But I
And
think,
also make it fun getting ready for school. Have some fun with it. Have the child help you pick out some of the school supplies, be it a backpack or a lunchbox or for older kids, school supplies, so that they are seeing something really positive about this, that you and that you're enjoying it, and that they can enjoy it as well. It's easier for you to do all that without your child, but we really recommend that you include them to build that sense of positive anticipation.
I think that is such a good point because even just having like a backpack that they're really excited to bring or a lunch bag, and something that they are excited about and also connected to, because then they're more connected to that from their home life. And there's
Right. Or it
homeschool.
could be a favorite book that they want to share, something that they really love to already, like a book or a, something appropriate, a book or a puzzle or whatever that they can bring to share with the teacher. And they can bring the experience book with them to school as well and look at it during the day when they need it.
Bringing that book that you made with them can be really special. Also a photo, some schools will ask for a
Oh,
family.
yeah, the photo's great.
But if your school hasn't, then definitely bringing a photo of your family into their backpacks, that can be really helpful as well. And also giving your teachers, if they haven't asked already, like giving them different things about your child's home life and making sure that they know maybe some of their favorite things to play with at home, or maybe like a favorite food, maybe if grandma lives at home, or just, little clues into their life. Because I definitely found as a teacher, if I did have a child that was slow to warm up, if I could talk about something that was happening at home, suddenly the eyes would be bright and they're like, oh, you know about my baby brother, or you know about my grandma, or, and that would just really help them to feel like this isn't such a strange environment. Because it is really like for a child, I mean, often we don't think about it, but it is like a brand new environment where they have no adults that they already know and trust. It's huge, right? Like it's a huge leap for a child.
And a parent.
Totally. And so, like you said, like kind of putting on that brave face, making sure that, if we do it, and it's okay to have questions, it's okay to have doubts as a parent, and you should certainly, get your questions answered if you have any, but, not in front of your child, right? Like if they say, I don't like my teacher, well, if you start questioning them, like, well, what did they do? What did they say? It's gonna sort of fan that versus just, trying to find out a little bit more information. Okay, so this question is, kind of about this transition from one classroom to the next. And the parent says, my daughter was really attached to her teacher last year and she will move into a new class. And she says she doesn't want to go into the new classroom. What can I do?
I think that was really surprising, not only for the parents, but also for the teachers who know this child, thinking, what's the problem? You know us, you know the school, you had a great year, just changing classroom. I think we underestimated that for most kids, it's big. They've really bonded with their teachers, they've bonded with the classroom, very comfortable. And even though they've been there a whole year and know the school and know that other classroom, it's not their classroom. And it's new, and newness can be tricky. So to not be surprised if you hear that, and to, you could say, oh, I think other kids might feel that way as well. Let's do some things that are going to make you feel better about, going into this new classroom. And again, it could be doing writing with them about it.
Another
Yeah.
book, right? Maybe they need a book just
Right.
for that.
That book, they with the first experience book the parent does without the child, because you're doing a story that you want to control. From there, I would do a lot of writing with them. Tell me about it. Write it out. I often find once kids hear, tell me about it, and they write it out, they're ready to move on. So
Cool.
writing is really, and you're not editing. Oh, you don't feel that way. No, you're not saying, you can say some pretty loaded things and you're writing them down.
Yeah, I never want to go to school again.
Yes,
Writing that
school.
all down.
Yeah, that's how you feel right now. But not, oh, you don't feel that way. You love school. And it might help. I've seen a lot of children be helped by that, just writing it out.
That's awesome. Yeah. And also I would say, again, going back to the, I did a new thing, like maybe you started a new job, or maybe when you moved as a child, and just telling those stories to help them see that everybody has those feelings when they're going into something new. And yet I did it. And then I ended up really loving it, or I ended up really having the best school year of my life or something. And, really just helping them to go through that arc of like, I was afraid, I didn't want to do it, but then I did it and it was okay. And I think, gosh, what a powerful lesson, because so many things in life are going to be that same arc, right? Like, I wasn't sure, I was worried, I was scared, whether that's like trying out for a team or starting a new school, starting a new job, right? Taking on a new role. It's, we have those feelings of, I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
think just having that attitude of seeing it as something where the child is going to learn something very important from this, something that's going to really strengthen, again, their self-esteem. That's a very different place that the parent's coming from, oh my God, we've got a problem. This is terrible. As
Yeah.
to say, oh, this is going to be a bit of a struggle, and struggles are good. And you can learn a lot from struggles. And
Yes. But it, I mean, for me, it's like one of the hardest things as a parent, right? In the lived experience, is to not want to solve that problem, not want to, take away anxiety, take away, and
right. You don't want to see your child unhappy. No parent does. But I think if we can change our attitude of these challenges are going to come up, how am I as a parent going to handle them? And what positivity can come out of this, that's a very different approach and one that can really be very beneficial for the child to, like you said, overcome anxiety, how to deal with fear, how to deal with uncertainty. Really important. And it starts when they're young.
absolutely. And yeah, I think maybe the way that you said it, it's like, instead of having this mentality, which is so normal and natural, I think, as a parent, to have this mentality of like, okay, I'm going to remove any problems. Like, how can I solve every problem for you? How can I make life as smooth as possible? And, if we can start talking ourselves out of that narrative a little bit and say, how can I help you grow from challenge? How can I help you learn to face hard things? Learn to be confident in those moments, right?
And to share, like you said, share some stories from your own life that would be appropriate to share with a young child can also really help. So it's not, so that takes a lot of the negativity away.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean that, going back to my own child, moving from the penguin room to the prairie dog room. And he was, I'm not going to be a prairie dog. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be a penguin. I'm not going. And so we did this whole thing, and there's an article about it on our website, but we did this whole thing of like, yeah, it's hard doing new things. It's hard, but I know you can do it. And we ended up like making up a little song, and he had older siblings. So his siblings were giving him stories as well about like hard things that they did or things they didn't want to do, but they ended up loving. And we ended up making up a little song like for him on the way to school. And it was just like, I'm gonna rock this prairie dog thing, feeling a little afraid, but that's okay. Feeling a little scared, but that's okay, 'cause I'm gonna rock it anyway.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it was just, and so he, it was just a way to, again, acknowledge that it is scary, but also, but I can do hard things, I can do scary things, and I'll never forget when he came home that day and he said, I thought I wasn't gonna like it, but I ended up loving it. It was like
Oh, I was going to ask how long did it take? Wow, not long.
one day. And I was lucky, right? Because, but it took one
Yes.
day, exactly one day. But that, and that's not always the case, right? Like sometimes it will take a little bit longer. I also think like making a list of things, if it is just transitioning from a new, or even like transitioning to a new school, or transitioning to a new classroom, make a list of things that will be the same, maybe some things that will be different, and then some things that will be the same.
And if you can, visit that classroom,
Yes.
visit that's the new school. Even if it's closed, you can walk by, you can look at the
Absolutely.
buildings, you can look at the playground. If you can go in, that's great. You might not be able to,
Yeah.
but visits ahead of time can really help as well.
Yes. It's like you said, like removing as many of the unknowns that we can. Because we forget how many unknowns there are for the child, right? Sometimes I think as adults, because they're young and they don't, maybe speak as much of their mind as we do, that sometimes we forget that they still have all of these same human emotions and thoughts. And like, it's still really scary to do something really new. And so, as much as we can remove some of those unknowns through, like we said, this book, through looking at the schedules, through visiting walks, all of those things can be so helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so next question is, my daughter has several friends who have moved on to TK or kindergarten, and she will now be one of the oldest in class. How can I explain to her that she wasn't left behind?
That's going to happen again to most kids have this experience. And I think that it's interesting that they see it as left behind. I think that's the parents. More of the parents, but they definitely know that they're not going ahead.
Yes.
And why is that? And I think, certainly some of the logical explanation of, birthdays and age cutoff and, that's only going to go so far. I think, building on her worry, the underlining worry is, I'm not going to have new friends. I'm not going to have, that secure group that I had.
Yeah.
And you can say, remember when you first went into this classroom? Do you know anybody? No. And look at all the friends that you made. And you can do that again.
Yes.
But you miss I know you miss your friends. And let's plan some ways that we can get together with them, on the weekend. Let's have some play dates. And again, that will take some time, because that is hard for kids to understand. Why aren't I going off with my friends,
Yes. But I think you're right, like reminding them that at the beginning of the school year, whenever they started at the school, that they didn't have those friends and they were able to make those friends. And so, do you think you'll be able to make friends this year? And, oh, there's maybe a couple of new friends that are coming and I wonder what their names are. And I wonder if they'll like playing dinosaurs like you do and kind of getting their interest about these new friends. And while you're having play dates with some of the old friends, also, working to have some play dates with the new friends as well. To build those connections.
Sometimes schools will share with you who's going to be in the classroom, and sometimes they won't. So it might
Yeah.
be hard to do it in advance, but once you
Sure.
can, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, I always found like play dates, as hard as they are, sometimes as parents, we feel like it's like one more thing on our plate, one more thing we have to organize and structure. And I always found in the beginning of the year, like if you can get a few play dates in with some classmates in the first month of school, it really pays off in dividends for especially a child that's a little slower to warm up because they need just a little bit more time to build that connection. And especially if you can have somebody over to your house, even if it's possible, then they feel like, okay, somebody else at school maybe knows my parents, or maybe they know they've met my brother, and it just really helps to ease them. But even just meeting up at a park can also be really helpful just to give them an extra little boost to build some connections to that new community that they're entering into. Cool. Okay. Do you have any recommendations for how to move bedtime back? This summer, my child has been getting into the habit of going to bed late and sleeping in late, which is great for us, but won't be great once school starts. Ah, the bedtime and morning routine question.
Oh yes. I, you know, obviously start now. Don't wait, and do it gradually. It could be 10, 15 minutes to start with for a couple of days, and then move it back. It is hard to give that up for the parent, but you don't want to wait till the last minute, because mornings, getting ready for school in the morning, can sometimes be absolutely like a big catastrophe, because you got to get out, you want to be on time, your child is dragging his heels or her heels, and you know, it's ripe for lots of losing your cool and starting the day, and then that lasts with you all day. Oh my God, we had such a horrible time. I screamed, then we were late. The principal talked to me already. My school, the principal was on the sidewalk, and if you were late, man, you were in trouble. And
My goodness.
so to make sure that you start this as early as you can and do it gradually, and then to make sure that you work out a really clear schedule in the morning so that your child knows what to expect and you're not over-functioning for the child and doing everything. Eat your breakfast, brush your teeth, get your shoes. Oh my God, the backpack. And I was somebody who didn't believe that my children could do this. They were definitely late to wake up in the morning. And we were at a school where the child had to be at the desk sitting down at 7:50 a.m., which I said, oh, we'll get used to it, which we never did. And that was K through 8th grade. Never got used to it. But things did get better when I stopped over functioning. We made a timeline with the child, with both children, so they knew when, you know, what they had to do at a certain time. And then you back out of it a little bit. And it's very hard to do that because you want to say, and see if you might, maybe I was shocked at how much more cooperation and investment the kids had when I backed out. But I used the timeline. I used something that they could follow, even if they weren't reading, you know. Oh, you know, first I get dressed, then I eat breakfast, then I brush my teeth. And I would say, car leaving at 7:30. So be in the car at 7:30.
And
And
when did you say you would go and just wait in the car at
then
7:30?
I would go into the car, but they were often there before me, which I could not believe.
That's awesome.
So it was quite a success.
It's such a different. What's that?
Can't guarantee it, but definitely backing out of it and being very clear and not over talking. You know, the more you over function, the more the child will under function. That
Absolutely.
was a very good piece of information that I experimented with and saw that it was true.
Absolutely. And I think it's such a shift in a mindset, right? To say, okay, when you're a baby, of course, I'm going to get you dressed and I'm going to feed you physically, right? And I'm going to do all these things. But as our child grows and develops, if we don't actually step back, then we don't give our child room to step up.
That's right.
It's just that simple, but it's so hard, obviously, in practice. But yeah, I love like the routine charts, and I've done so many different variations, I feel like, with my kids over the years. Like sometimes we've had ones where they can, check things off,
Oh
of like,
yeah, you can be very creative with this.
One thing that was really fun for a while was we did these jars, and if you're watching this instead of listening, you can see, but we had this. This is the Dun jar. Well, here, try that again. So we had these sticks, popsicle sticks, in the to-do jar, and then they had the Dun jar. And as they finished their tasks for the morning, they would move things into their jars. So we had, for example, eat breakfast. And they would move it from the to-do jar to the Dun jar. And then it was like pack snack, right? And even, I mean, the pack snack is a great one because I found the more responsibilities as as crazy as it sounds, the more responsibilities they had, like if I was doing everything, packing all of their lunch, packing all of their snack, getting their backpacks ready, packing their soccer stuff, then the more time they had to get distracted, to start playing, you know, actually giving them more responsibilities. And I did, they had a list of what activities they had every day. And so they were responsible for packing their soccer gear if they had soccer after school. And I just felt like that was, you know, first of all, I didn't want to be responsible for forgetting it. But I think them having that responsibility, it was really good training then as they got older that they needed to be responsible for, you know, knowing what activities they had, putting it in the bag. That wasn't my responsibility, that was theirs. And so actually giving your child more responsibilities, like can they help with breakfast, right? Can they help cut up veggies for their snack? Surprisingly, it makes your morning more smooth because you're not spending all the time saying, you know, okay, get to breakfast, get your shit, you know, they're busier, right?
Right. And it's exhausting to keep talking and worrying all morning. I really had a hard time believing that they actually could do this.
Yes.
So that's part of it is really giving this a chance. And it made a huge difference.
Yes. Yeah. Backing, just kind of taking a step back for sure. Oh, and the other thing I was going to say about bedtime, I think for me, I was always trying to like move bedtime back earlier. But a really good tip is if you actually start by waking them up earlier, which is really hard, I get, if you don't have an But I found like mo leading up to school starting, if I would wake them up 15 minutes earlier each day, then they're actually tired, you know, maybe a little bit earlier at night. And so instead of just focusing on moving that bedtime back, actually move their waking.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right. Because you're right. I mean, you can do it, you know, like cold turkey, but. And I get that. I get the temptation to do that. But you have to also think, okay, yes, of course, they are going to get up. Like it's going to be a hard morning. They are going to get up. You know, you can make it. But what you may not be realizing is that you kind of have like this jet lagged kid for the first week or two. And that's not fun because that's more tantrums and more crying and more, you know, difficult behaviors in lots of different ways. So, you know, trying to not think of it as just, oh, we'll just go cold turkey. Like it's just one bad morning or whatever. But thinking of it more of, no, it's actually going to take them a couple weeks to really adjust, can be helpful to think about.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay. So the last question is about starting kindergarten. So my child is starting kindergarten, brand new school, so much bigger than his preschool. He knows no one at the school. Any tips? I know we've kind of covered some of these things already with our previous answers, but I do think that one thing that I didn't take into account when my son started kindergarten was like how much less playing he would be doing in his day. And of course, that may vary depending on where you go to kindergarten, but I think I really did need to build in some open-ended play for him after school. And knowing that like that part of his brain that he was so used to exercising of just playing and imagining and discovering all day, every day in preschool, he was, you know, not doing that as much. And I think it was really hard for him to not have all of that time with his own thoughts and imagination. So building in that free play. And I think as you mentioned before too, like not overscheduling the afternoons, right?
And the weekends
Yeah.
to during this first month, especially keep things as low key as you can so that the child does have ample time to just play and to sort of decompress from all the structure, because it's a big change.
Yes, and you may want to do extracurriculars after school, but I think we really recommend during those first couple months, as much as a child can just go home and just play, decompress, relax, the better time they will have because they are so tired. And you'll find that if you're moving them from a whole day, a brand new day at a new place into an extracurricular and then another one, it's going to be really exhausting for the child.
Right.
Yeah, that and so really being mindful of that is something that you can control as a parent, right? Like the after school times, the weekend times, you
Yeah,
know.
and if your child is going to after school, to find out what they're doing in that program and to see if they're giving the kids some downtime. I think most of them do that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And for younger kids, they are going to need that even more. And so even looking for, like I know at our school, we have options of different options. And so one of the options is like free play. So really thinking about that and saying, you know what, my child probably is going to need that option. You know, as they're, you know, for kindergarten or as they're younger, even though, you know, maybe some of those other things sound so exciting and enticing, really trusting that play is still so valuable for your child as a 5 or 6 year old.
Yes.
They're going to be missing that free play. They really are. So building that in is so, can be so positive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say, I mean, other things for that specific transition for kindergarten, I think, like you said, like walking by the school as much as you can. Again, talking to them about things that may be the same and may be different, right? So some of the things that will be the same is that you're going to have a circle time. Oh, did you have circle time at preschool? Oh, and oh, another thing that's going to be the same is that you're going to have a snack time, or you know, you're going to have a lunch time. You know, just really helping them kind of go through their day, and talk about things that may be similar to preschool and things that might be different. Like, oh, at preschool, where did you play outside? At, you know, at kindergarten, oh, do you remember we saw that playground and that's where you're going to be, you know, just kind of going through and helping them see that there are some similarities, but there will be some different things.
Also, parents need to prepare themselves for not knowing what their child is doing. Preschool, what they had for lunch and what time they ate, and the fact that somebody made sure that they washed their hands. I had a parent who that just blew her mind. Like, how am I going to know if my child washed his hands? And I was like, you're not going to know. And not knowing is so weird, from going from knowing almost everything, then the transition to preschool, knowing less but knowing a lot. And then the transition to kindergarten, where, and if you ask, what'd you do today? Nothing.
Yeah.
Who'd you play with? No one.
No
And
one.
you're going to get a lot of that. So don't be worried about it, but prepare yourself and get creative ways of asking kids to share about their school might help. But I think the main work is on yourself at this point to really realize that things are going to be very different. You're not going to know. And that's a big step in your child becoming more and more independent. It's not easy, but I think if you prepare for it and you know that it's normal, that can be really helpful. And then, you can think of some really fun questions that you ask the child. Who did you play with? What was the funniest thing that happened to you today? Or what was the silliest? Or what was the happiest and what was the saddest thing? If you're more specific, you still might not get a lot, but
I also found, like, as a parent, you always want to ask them on the way home from school, right? Like, right when you pick them up. But I always found that children are really decompressing at that moment and they're not always ready to share about their day. And they might be really tired and they just, you know, might not be a good time. And so waiting until bedtime, which is always hard, right? Because that's often when they want to open up and it's like when you want the night to end. But building that in, especially during a transition, building in time. We used to call it talkies, where we would build in time at the end of the night. We would rotate it. So maybe one night we would do books and the next night we would do talkies. And we would, you know, just build time to talk at the end of the night because I do find children are so much more open. And a couple things we would do, like your day in review. So you would start with, okay, well, you know, we had dinner. Before dinner, you were playing outside. Okay, before that, I picked you up from school. So when I picked you up from school, you were on the playground. And what happened on the playground? Oh, well, you know, actually, we were playing this dragon game and we were hiding under here. Oh, okay, who were you playing with, right? So now suddenly we're like talking a little bit about our days. But yeah, often the way home from school, you're getting like nothing.
Right, and a lot of kids go to after school, and so the day is really long for them, and they
Long.
will not remember what they did in school. So waiting a little bit and then having more specific questions.
Yeah, and about space, I find kids like connect to those questions more, like, oh, what did you do on the playground? Or, oh, I noticed there was
Specific.
that science area in your classroom. Did you do anything in the science area? Or, oh, I know you have, a circle time meeting. Like, what was the question of the day for circle time? Just very specific, based on kind of what your knowledge, even of just like looking at the classroom, but also, like you said, being prepared that, you're going to find out a lot less, throughout the day. You'll probably have fewer photos coming home from the day at school, and trusting that that is a positive thing as well, that it means your child is growing up and becoming more independent. Okay, well, any other, final tips that you would give to parents as they?
You will survive and your child will too.
Yes.
But, I think anticipating that it might not be as smooth as we're hoping. And then if it is, that's super. And just having some of these tips so that you have some things built in that you can do. Some of them are ahead of time, some of them are during time. And to, again, if you were somebody that loves school, your child may not be, and it's okay. It just may take them longer to adjust. And also, you can say to the child, well, what do you think would help you? What do you think would help a child? Or sometimes what I do is, depending on the age, I'll say, what would a 3-year-old, what would a 4-year-old, or what would a 5-year-old, depending on who I'm talking to, what do you think a 5-year-old child that was having this problem would do? And boy, I have gotten some astounding answers from kids, like, really?
Like
And
when it's not about them, but it's about you.
right. So when it's third person,
Oh, that's
what
a
do you think other 5-year-olds that are having this situation, what would they do? And again,
Wow, I love that.
very creative answers and can be very helpful. So I think just having the idea that this is a big transition, even if your child, as we said, is just changing classrooms within an already familiar school. So to expect, some ups and downs of behavior and create some really nice free time for your child to decompress from all this and for you as well to take it a little slower, a little more available as your child goes through these transitions.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a good point. Trying to be really gentle on yourself, especially in the mornings, because
Oh my.
it's just not gonna go perfectly. Like, even if you do the routine charts, even if you do the jars, right? Like, it's just not gonna go perfectly. And so, as much as you can kind of accept that, whether that means we might be late a couple days, or and then, how can we build on that? How can we keep doing better? Just sort of, giving yourself a little bit of slack that it's not going to be super perfect.
Right. But also I see parents, myself included, we'll try something for a week and then give it up. This is for the long haul. You want to build these skills so that you're not just doing it for a week and then having chaos, but that you're really going to continue to work on that, the skill of the child being more independent and more capable and able, and that you believe that they can do it. That's how you build self-esteem.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great place to wrap up, I think, because all of this, I think, that we've talked about is really believing your child, believing that they're really capable of having a great year, of making friends, of being able to do these tricky, scary things that they're worried about, and really believing in them. And with that, they begin to believe in themselves and build the confidence that I think all of us are wanting for our children throughout life.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been really fun. Belana and I really hope that you have enjoyed this conversation, that you're enjoying the podcast, and we look forward to coming back with a next episode for you soon. Thank you so much for listening to Parenting Matters, real talk from toddlers to teens, where your personal parenting journey matters and your questions are always welcome. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, we'd love it if you'd like, subscribe, leave a rating and review, and share this podcast with a friend. It really helps others find us and supports the work we are doing to support parents near and far. Check out the show notes, leave your parenting questions in the comments, or head to our dedicated webpage, earlychildhoodmatters.org/podcast. There you can find even more resources and ways to stay connected. If you like our podcast, check out our full list of in-person classes and support groups in San Francisco and on-demand parenting classes on our site. Use code PARENTINGMATTERS15, all caps, for 15% off. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram to stay in the loop.